Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Good morning and welcome back to the Birth Worker Podcast. You're listening to episode 125. Today on the podcast, I have a friend of mine, Doula Darcy, and we're going to be talking about failure. And the reason that we're talking about failure today is both of us run very successful businesses where we coach doulas, and we have also both had failures in the past. And we have noticed that sometimes our students let failures define them, when in reality, failure is part of the process for everybody. And if you're not looking at failure as a learning process, then I want to help shift that in this episode today with Darcy. So if you don't know Darcy, definitely take a listen to this episode and then run to the show notes to check her out, follow her on Instagram, join her free marketing Facebook group for doulas. She's got some really amazing things going on this week, including me inside of her community over on Facebook. So definitely go join that if you're not part of it already. And I hope you enjoy the episode. You already left your job. You're already a doula. It's going well. What's going, like, now what happens?
Yeah. So I got to go back and figure out what year this was, but it was probably like 2016, 2017. So I'd been a doula for 6 or 7 years and, oh, I was hitting the income ceiling. There was no more hours in the day that I could work. I would raise my rate. But I was like making as much money as I possibly could doing one-on-one doula work. And I remember standing in a mom's living room answering a question. And I was like, I have answered this question so many times. And so I was like, wait a minute, I could just record all this and sell it. So that's where it was like, I hit the max income I could earn. I wanted to be helping more than one person a day. Mm-hmm. And have more freedom in my life.
Did you have a social media at that point?
I did, but it was 100% just my local Dover, New Hampshire doula.
Okay.
So that's when I started Doula Darcy, and it was first about mom stuff, like newborn tips and. Yeah. And my heart wasn't in it. I was honestly just burnt out. I was so sick of it. Mm. So like you said, I didn't work hard enough, post as much. But I didn't think the numbers were there to have a business where I was helping doulas with the business side of things.
Yeah. And you thought like, well, my doula clients are asking me this question and I already have an in with the doula,
right?
Like mom. So that's like the next step is to create a course for moms.
Yeah. Here's my area. This is my area of expertise. And
yeah.
And I had been super passionate about it, but I was just, you know, coming up on 10 years in, I was like, I'm just so sick of talking about bottles and
what a good, like, that also proves the point of like, you need to create a business that can pivot. And when you build something in person, online, virtual, all together, you can pivot and pivot and pivot and pivot and pivot again.
Yeah.
But if you only attend birth in person, if you only want to be known as like the doula in your small little town, it's harder to pivot.
Yeah.
So how long did you run those courses, that Instagram, the website and stuff for online stuff for moms?
Maybe like about a year, year and a half at the most. Yeah. And then was in a mastermind with Kate Northrup. And then finally was like, no, I'm going for it. I'm doing the doula stuff. So
when you made the course for moms, was it like amazing and it was like all that you thought it would be and it sold right away and it didn't
no, because it was really I don't know about talking about it was really hard to, because like when you're one-on-one with a mom, you read their energy, you see, you know, is breastfeeding going really well? Or is, you know, so to just create an on, well, back to niching, just creating an online course to serve every person that just had a baby, like, it was really hard to, you know, like, sometimes you do have to breastfeed the baby more often. Sometimes you don't. Like, so it was just, it was hard. And then it was a good concept. Like, I was like, oh, have a postpartum doula in your pocket. And people loved it. But I mean, I sold, I don't know, 10. I sold 20 at the most. And it was mostly local, you know, people that knew me. Friends of friends. You know.
And I mean, that's, it's a great example. Like, what a, that's a great example, because you were already booked out in person. So you were getting inquiries, and now it's like, well, I can't do it for you. I can't be your postpartum doula, but go hire this other postpartum doula, but then take my course, because you love me. So take my course.
Exactly. Well, and that, and it was also like, people were always like, I'd be in their house and they'd be like, oh, I wish like I could just send you to my friend in California. And I'd be like, well, you can't, but you can gift them this course. And then actually then COVID hit, and I did kind of resell it a bunch of times or, you know, while I was, that's and again, pivoting, like I was selling it while I was building all the other stuff too. So
was there a while where you were like, well, I'm going to do both. Like, I'm still going to sell the moms and I'm going to create stuff for doulas too.
Actually, no, because I didn't want to, I knew I didn't want to market.
You knew that way. Your goal, your soul was like, nope, that one was not for me.
Cause it was a lot just to like go. I mean, even to this day, I have Dover Doula, Facebook and Instagram, Doula Darcy, Facebook and Instagram. Like, even that's just a lot. So I was like, oh my God, if I'm going to make a third one, no.
that's totally true. For me, it was, my transition was interesting because my childbirth education was doing so well. So even though I was like, okay, I'm ready for the next thing, I'm ready to like teach doulas and my doula training, I did feel a little bit like, well, oof, like, do I really want to shut down something that's working so well?
Right.
The answer looking back is like, hell yes, you do. Because if, if you figured it out once, you're going to figure it out again. So like, don't hold on to something. If your heart is not, you know, 100% in it. And I actually, I did a podcast on this morning, actually. I love birth so much, but to me, birth is so simple. Postpartum is different in my mind, but birth is so simple. Like, if you do nothing, you're going to have a baby. Business, if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. Like, you're not going to grow a business. So in terms of me, I did a podcast on like, what do I listen to in my free time? And even though I love birth, I listen to business podcasts in my free time because birth is so simple. and it's kind of how I felt when growing my business too. It's like, I have this huge comprehensive birth course, but also it's like, how much can I talk about, you know, the do nothing or the mindset? And, and for me, it was like, yeah, birth is so simple. Let's talk about business now, because business is a struggle and it's hard. And it's like a big math problem that you kind of have to like figure out and hack and try again. And you get through this whole math problem and you get to the end and you spend an hour and you're like, oh crap, I made a mistake on the first line of the math problem and everything was wrong. And I just wasted my time and now I have to start over. And that's like really fun for me.
Oh, me too. And, I never remember her real name, but Tranquility by Hehe. I was interviewing her and she described it as like an escape room. Like you figure out one piece and that unlocks the next thing that you go down. And then, but then you have to sometimes go back, and that's totally what it is. And it's so fun for me. I love it. Like when you were talking about looking at the numbers when we're on my thing, I was like, I love doing that. Like, looking at like where it's breaking down. And
we're so weird. It's like not normal. It's not normal. And I realized how not normal it is as I try and just grow my team and hire more people. I actually look for very specific people based on their personality type. I have to take the DISC personality test.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh my gosh, it's life-changing for like business and work stuff. My listeners are like, Kylie, you talk about this all the time, because I just love it. But often for a lot of roles, I'm looking for like one very specific characteristic. And most people are not that, especially if they have the obsession of birth and they love birth.
Oh, right.
Spirituality and women, it's typically a very different person than someone who like loves to go track spreadsheets.
Yes.
but it's so important. Like you have to. It's one of those things that you have to at least find a little bit of will to go in and track those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm always blown away. Like when in coaching calls, when people don't, I don't know. I can't even think of an example, but just like pointing out like, oh no, it didn't sell because of like, you didn't put a description on the sales page or like you didn't. And they're like, and I'm like, what? Isn't that obvious? Like, or can't you look at these numbers and see, but like you said, the like talents you're born with, you think everybody's born with.
Yeah. It's so true. It's that personal bias, which is huge mm-hmm. in birth work too, because like, I was just telling my partner, Barry, any doula, no matter how long you've been doing it, you just always have those biases come up. And I was telling him that we went to buy a car yesterday and the person who was selling it to us told us that she's trying to have a baby or she's trying to get pregnant. And I told Barry, it's so weird because half of me is like so excited for her because birth is like the coolest thing in the world. And the other half of me is like so sad because like, I know that there's a really good chance, like a 35% chance that she's just really not going to have a good experience. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that is such a huge bias. Like Kylie, slap it out of yourself, like knock it off. But yeah, it's wow. Birth is so interesting.
It is.
I'm assuming that you made that online course for postpartum moms. And now that's something that's just maybe, do you still like include that with doula support? Like, I'm guessing you didn't just like trash it all.
For a while, it was part of like my big package. Like if you booked a 48-hour package, you got free access. This was what was cool about it. My hourly rate for postpartum doula work is my hourly rate. So even the biggest package like is still, but like with booking that package, you got this online course for free.
Cool. Yeah.
But now I did just trash it.
Yeah.
And in fact, just the other day I deleted it all, first, like I've let my hair go gray. Like I look completely different. I recorded it 5 years ago. And I don't know. I was just ready to be done with it and move on. Yeah. So
good for you. That I constantly look at old projects in my Google Drive and I'm like, today's not the day to delete that, but I'm thinking about when I'm going to delete that. Okay. So what was the first thing? Like, what was the evolution? Like what is the first thing you created for doulas and did everything work right off the bat? Or like, did they have iterations and pivots? How did you get to where you are today with your offers now?
Yeah. You know, what's funny? I don't even remember what my first offer was. I know I remember my first freebie was World Doula Week. It must've been 2019. I was like, sign up for my email list and I'll give you like five something to post every day of World Doula Week.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think like I got 20 people to sign up and I was so excited. Yeah. And oh, I know what my first offer was. Okay. I had a total brain fart. My first offer was the Postpartum Doula Academy. And I wanted it to be 10 doulas to fill in the gap after your 4-day training where you are, you know, 80% ready to be a postpartum doula, but you have no idea like how to start an LLC and all that stuff. So it was, the course part was about setting up the business side, the marketing side. And then we had group calls and we would talk about like just the postpartum doula stuff. Like what do you actually do the first time you go into somebody's home? So, that was my first offer. And, The first time I sold it, oh God, it's so weird. I can't even remember. I had two or three people sign up. You know, mm-hmm. I'd wanted 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little bummed.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, wait a minute. But two or three people did. So I know. And the people who did loved it. And I loved it. And so I was like, okay, this is a good product. This is a good service. I just need to get it in front of more people. It's a mm-hmm. marketing problem. Like we talk about all the time. Like I didn't have to fix the actual program. I just had to get it out in front of more people. So I probably launched that Postpartum Doula Academy 5 or 6 times. And, you know, sometimes it filled up to 10. Sometimes it, you know, I'd have 6 or 8 after that. But so that was a good, it was successful. I wasn't a millionaire, mm-hmm. but I, you know, it worked and it kind of proved to me like, okay, like this, you can be a business coach for doulas. You can, you know, but it was a lot of work to do that launch. Because this, I think it cost $1,200. So it was, I was doing pretty big launches and, you know, the time and energy to launch it versus 6 people joining, you know, I was like, I need something else. And then, this was right around when COVID happened. And so I, at this stage, I was also still taking in-person doula clients, postpartum doula clients. And then COVID happened and I had contracts that I needed to fill. And I didn't want to like refund this money in March of 2020 when the world shut down. So I was like, well, I'd already met with them a few times. I knew them. I knew their baby. I knew the situation. I'm like, let's just finish this out on Zoom. I was like, I don't know, like see. And it ended up being so awesome because they were stuck in their house. They still had questions. They still needed reassurance. They still needed resources. I just provided them so much value. When I first, I thought, oh, if I can't hold the baby so they can nap, or I can't, you know, unload the dishwasher, like what good is it? So then my next course was how to take your postpartum doula business virtual. And that sold really well. And that's when I was, and it was, and I, when I say I threw it together, but it was good. It was solid information. It had great worksheets and people loved it. And it got postpartum doulas out working in 2020. And it's people still buy it today because it's good. And, you know, it's a great way to, it's a way to build another income stream into your doula business. So that really showed me, oh, like I didn't need fancy lights or cameras or hot, you know, I just need an authentically good course. And that was just a course that, you know, was it is still $97. So that just sells without me. There's no live component, which my academy had. So I was like, okay. And so just since then, I just keep honestly adding things on as I see the needs come up, which has been a really fun way to build a business that no one would ever tell you to, like, no, like white business guy in a suit would ever tell you to do. Like, I didn't have like a 5-year plan with an outline of, I was just like, huh, okay, I'm seeing in the doula Facebook groups that doulas need, that doulas hate posting on Instagram. They can't think of what to post. So I made 30 post templates and sell that over and over and over Instagram for doulas. And it's great. So listening to what doulas needed and figuring out what my sweet spots and skills were, has led to much more success than coming at it the other way with, oh, there's a bazillion moms on the planet having a baby. Those are great numbers. I'll make one course to help them all. And it didn't go anywhere.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And because you didn't have the raging passion for that anymore, you wouldn't have gone through all these iterations of like, you know, you sell only two, but you wanted 10, like you would have given up. Mm-hmm. But since you had the passion for helping doulas and you are just so obsessed with marketing, it was like a no-brainer. Like,
yeah.
I have a feeling that even if you didn't make money doing this, you would keep doing it just because you love it so much.
I absolutely would. Oh my gosh. In fact, it's the joke among my friends, like my mom friends in town, like when we go out to dinner, they're like, could you just not talk about marketing? or could you just not like make me an online business? Cause I'm like, I have one friend. I'm like, you could have a party planning business. And I'm like, here's how it would make $1 million. Yeah. So you're right.
I'm the kind of person that would like love to go to dinner with you every night and like brainstorm these things.
Yes.
So funny.
I know.
You know, something else I see a lot. I see this with like some of my best friends, and it's like the hardest when you see it with your best friends because you like kind of want to walk on eggshells. At least I do a little bit because I'm like, you know, I don't want to make anyone like not excited. But I have friends that'll almost like self-sabotage their business before they like before they put out an offer. So for instance, like I know that no matter which direction they want to go, like they'll find success. Like, oh, zero doubt in my mind, like 100%. Yeah. But something that happens is they'll kind of like throw something together, like half-assed, whip it up really quick, be like, you know what? I'm just going to half-ass this sales page. It doesn't need email marketing. I'm just going to sell it to my old email list who I haven't emailed in 2 years. And then I'm sitting back here like, oof, why even waste your time on that? Like, how about you pick something and actually go all in and like not half-ass something? But it's so sad because when I look back and I kind of, I don't know, put on a therapist hat. I'm not a therapist, by the way. This is just like me overanalyzing. I'm like, are you giving yourself an out? So when it fails, you can just say, oh, you know, I told you it was going to fail, or like, yep, of course it failed. When in reality, it's like, if you just gave it a little bit more strategy and a little bit more like love and time, you're totally going to find success. But it's like, they do that thing so they can have the excuse of like, see, like I told you, it
didn't like, work. Oh, I tried that and it just didn't work for me.
Exactly.
Yes. It's exactly. That is why mindset work and awareness of your own mindset is so important in this to catch. I mean, I catch myself doing stuff like that, but you know, not, you know, self-sabotaging myself, you know, even at, like around my house or with stuff at my kid's school, like, and just having that awareness of like, oh, this is why I'm not signing up. This is why I volunteered to send napkins into the bake sale. Like, so it's so, and I see that all the time of, and then I also see it of people that say, oh, well, I trained to be a lactation counselor, but it doesn't get me any business. Or I took that training and it didn't, you know, I'm not getting hired anymore. And it's like, that's another, I don't know if you would call it self-sabotage, but it's like not taking the ownership and the initiative of your part in the business and putting the blame. Like, oh, it was this training that I took, not the fact that I didn't do the work. so it's like where it's like placing the blame outside of yourself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I see that. I see it with birth and postpartum too.
Oh yeah.
I do. And it's interesting because it can be very, very triggering, but on the flip side of that, I actually find it so empowering to like blame myself for things, because if it was my quote unquote fault, then like I can fix it. You know,
yeah.
If it was Darcy's fault, I can't fix it because it had nothing to do with me. If it was right. my course's fault or like my teacher's fault, I can't fix it. But, you know, if it's mm-hmm. my fault, I can absolutely fix it. I hold the key to do something different next time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that comes down to like believing in yourself, betting on yourself over anyone else. And, you know, I'm always going to bet on myself. I know myself and I know what I won't give up on and what I will give up on. And I think of this, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I was a gymnast growing up and my coach was kind of a jerk, but we were not allowed to say the word can't ever in practice in the gym. You just couldn't say it. Like, if you said, you know, I can't do that flip, he'd be like, no, like what in, you know, you'd have to be like, my leg hurts and I'm not jumping high today. Or, you know, he would stand there and make you get down to the real root. Like, I'm scared. I'm tired. I haven't practiced this enough. So I think like doing that from a young age, that just, I've carried that with me. So now, you know, I literally, I can't even say it now. I can't say the word can't. So you know, if I'm thinking, oh, I can't make this sales page. Nope. I automatically to myself, I'm like, no, where am I getting hung up? Is it the copywriting? Is it that I'm not in the mood to do the copywriting right now? Is it the tech? Do I just need to hire someone? Do I just need to Google it more? I love that you said earlier when we were talking, like you Google things so your fingers are bleeding. Like, I can figure this out. I'm not going to cop out and just say, I can't make a sales page.
I had a conversation with Amy Porterfield. Her team reached out a while ago and wanted to just like chat about why potentially I had success through DCA and other people might not, and how maybe they can improve the DCA program so more people find success. And one of the things that I said that her and her team kind of caught, because I think someone else had said it too, was that I almost like didn't give myself another option.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that like, oh yeah, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to do this instead.
Yeah.
And of course that option is like there. Like, I still could like go back to work for someone else like that. Right. It exists. It's not like, no, this is not an option. Like, I can't do that. I'm going to die. Yeah. No. But in my mind, it's just like not even really something that I think about, mm-hmm. which is fascinating. And that's kind of how I went into DCA when I started making my very first birth course. It was that like this like undeniable belief that this is going to work. And maybe if not now, it'll work eventually. So yeah. Even we talked about earlier, when I was in your community, about my ebook that had literally zero sales for the first several months, that is like a perfect excuse to quit. Like, no yeah. one would yes. have blamed me if I quit. No one would have looked, they would have just been like, yep, she quit something that wasn't working. Like, that was my out, but I didn't mm-hmm. give myself that out. Like, I didn't give myself that other option. And it lit the fire into my butt to actually like go do the work.
Yeah.
And it paid off big time.
Well, and that's a great point. And that's a really cool thing about online, like creating an online course, because it is kind of a very level playing field. When I did DCA, two things. And even when I started my doula business, yes, I could have always gone back to my marketing job, but for me, it was like, I told my friends and family that I was starting this doula business, and I was, you know, and maybe this isn't the best motivation, but I was like, I am not going to fail in front of them. And, you know, anytime anybody was like, how's that cute little, even today, my kids are 20. When I go to the pediatrician, the receptionist is like, how's that doula stuff going, Darcy? And I'm like, just like want to laugh. And I want to be like, I want to bring you my bank statement and show you like, so anyway, my motivation was like, I'm not going to let this fail. Cause at, you know, I like declared it. I was like, I'm going to be a doula. So I, through sheer will, made it happen. And mm-hmm. the same with like buying DCA. It was like, I just plopped down $2,000. I better make something out of this. But then also it was like, and I told people I was going to create a digital course, but also it's like, and Amy did it. And I, you know, you see all these other people, they have done it and they have the same internet. They have the same DCA. They, you know, like they, yeah, maybe they, I don't know, wrote a book or whatever. My point is the only person I could blame was myself. When that first course didn't do that great. Yeah. I knew it was that I didn't market it enough, that I didn't put my heart into it. And so I think having that awareness and that realization and that courage really to be like, it's all on me, folks.
Yeah. Was that the course that you made when you went through DCA, which if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, well, what's DCA? Yeah. Amy Porterfield has a course called Digital Course Academy, and it teaches you how to make a course. So Darcy, when you went through DCA, was that when you created the postpartum course for moms?
No, actually I winged it and created that on my own. I created the Postpartum Doula Academy on my own. And then I think I had even created Take Your Postpartum Doula Business Virtual on my own. And then I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Like I'm in the digital course world. That's when I signed up 2020, October is when I joined DCA. And so what I launched after DCA actually is kind of funny. It wasn't even a course. It was my membership program, My Doula Village. But kind of used all the same principles. I learned in DCA, and then have made a bunch of other courses for doulas since then.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It goes to show that what you learn in this niche or in this topic or building this course is going to help you go build the next thing, regardless of if it's a membership or a do-it-yourself course or a big comprehensive course or a program or whatever. It's like the little things you collect along the way, like you collect little stones.
Yes.
They all help you go forward.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 100%.
Oh my gosh. I know I talk about this in podcasts all the time. So sorry to my followers who hear this all the time, but I remember my father-in-law asking me like at dinner, like when I met Barry, so this is before I got pregnant, obviously. That's when I kind of jumped into the doula world. And obviously his dad like knew I was going to take a doula course and stuff like that. And we see him every single Sunday for dinner. It's just what we do. We go to his house for dinner. And every single Sunday, starting as soon as I took that program, he would say like, how's the doula business going? And how's it going? Do you have any clients? And like so many weeks, I would just be like, please don't ask me. Please don't ask me. Please don't ask me. Because nothing happened. Like nothing changed. And then slowly and slowly, like he kept asking and I kept finding more in-person clients. And then the ebook thing happened. So I launched an ebook and I told him I was launching an ebook. And I just remember like week after week, no sales, no sales, no sales, no sales. And then I remember like very clearly one day where I had made like 13 sales, actually, you know, I think it was 16. So let's say 13 to 16 sales, literally while I was at his house on Sunday for dinner.
Oh my God.
And I just remember having him support me in the way where he just kept asking and he like didn't really care if I was successful or not. And now he's at a point where I can like tell him about my business back then when I made $100 in a day, but like, let alone now when, you know, it is multiple times that it is really, really cool. And so I almost had to have that courage to just tell people what I'm doing and not hide behind the like eventually when I had my daughter, sometimes I tried to hide behind the like, well, no, I'm just a stay-at-home mom.
And Barry was
like, no, you're not. Literally a doula. Like you have your business, like tell people you have a business. And that can feel really hard because I think we judge ourselves. But if you can give yourself grace and just know that it's part of the plan and the journey, and you can't just wake up one day and have a super successful business booked out with clients, you have to go through those little things. You have to go through those roller coasters. But it's the people that keep pushing through it that are the people that eventually do get to the stage where they're like, oh my God, I just made 15 sales in the last 2 hours.
And it's like anything else though on social media where, you know, whether it's I lost 50 pounds or, you know, once you're in this online business thing, you start seeing all these ads of like, I just had a 6-figure launch. I made $50,000 last night when I slept. And you're like, oh my God, I want that too. You know, it's like, you don't talk about the time. You don't talk about the 6 months at the gym that it took to lose 50 pounds. You don't talk about the 2 years of trial and error and launching things that failed and, you know, making money in other ways. So I love that we're talking about this part of it, that it takes time.
It does. It does. I even made a post. I remember when I had my first 6-figure launch, I made a post about it because it was, my post was like something along the lines of like, next time you hear someone say they had a 6-figure launch, just remember that they have to pay taxes. They have to pay their team. They have to pay their staff, they have to pay their coaches. So at the end of the day, you know, maybe they take home $15,000-$20,000 after all of that stuff, which obviously is still like, that's phenomenal.
Right.
But it's very different than this idea that like the business made $100,000 does not mean that like someone is taking home that. It's interesting. I've actually noticed myself shifting my words over the last year, really specifically. And instead of saying I a lot of times, I say we.
Yeah.
And sometimes, first of all, if you're listening to this and you're new and you don't have a team, like don't say we, like don't pretend.
Right.
But also to me, like I shouldn't pretend because it is not I anymore.
Yeah.
Multiple full-time staff members helping. But I do webinars every now and then. And I remember someone being like, Kylie, why do you keep saying we? And I was like, oops, like I have 3 coaches that coach in our programs. I have, you know, multiple full-time staff members that help, you know, with our students and marketing and all of that. Yeah. So it very much is a we. Darcy, I have a question for you. And I actually don't know the answer to this question.
Oh.
Was there ever a time that you looked at the business that you had created and you were a little bit like, oof, I'm like not in love with what I wake up and do every day?
There are moments like that. And I usually like need a snack or, I mean, this sounds a bit like I'm a toddler, but I usually like need a snack or a nap or like a day off. And then I, you know, a couple hours later, I'm like, okay, no, I'm fine.
That's funny.
And which the other thing is, you know, now I've been doing like an online business for so many years, I forget. And in fact, yesterday was a prime example. It was Monday morning at 8:15 and I was driving to get a massage. And I got stuck in some traffic and I was like, what the heck? I live in Dover, New Hampshire. And I was like, you know, traffic's not part of my life. And I was like, oh yeah, it's Monday morning. People are driving to their corporate jobs. Oh my gosh. That's right. I forgot. I've been in my sweatpants in my house for so long. So it's kind of like a pat on the back, like, oh my gosh, like I have totally designed my life to never drive in traffic anymore. And I only go to the grocery store in the middle of the week, in the middle of the afternoon. Like I drove by the other day and I was like, why are there so many cars on Sunday afternoon at the grocery store? And I'm like, oh yeah. So I know any moment where I'm like, want to burn it all down. I'm like, no, I really don't. I don't want to say it's all like great all the time, but usually moments when I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm like, Actually, I do. Because I don't want to do anything else.
Yep.
Ever. And really, it's just that I like need to get off the computer for a little bit and just take a break. And I mean, I think you have that with any job. Being a mom, like,
yeah,
we all have our moments where like, I'm done with this.
What did I do? Yeah.
But you just need a break and a snack. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I got this.
And that's the power with having your own business or your own company, is that like you can be like, I'm just going to take a break today.
Yep.
I'm taking today off or even if you do get to a point where you're like, wait a second, you know, I just created a course for moms and I really didn't want to, I probably should have created a course for doulas instead or whatever it looks like. It's like, cool, pivot. Like you have the power. Like there's nothing holding you to it. This is not a corporate job. You're your own boss.
And I always tell the doulas in my membership and that I coach, like no one is watching you as much as you think that they are. Yeah. You know, people are like, what if I take 3 days off and post it? Like no one cares. You don't have to announce it or apologize for it. No one is paying attention. So your ebook that you made that no one bought, like it's not like 100 people were watching and saw that no one bought it. No one even knows. And I feel like I learned this early on in my doula business because of my marketing background, I like came out blaring with marketing, like, and back then, like on Facebook, and I was teaching prenatal yoga. So I'd post about prenatal yoga and then I'd run into friends or meet new people and they'd be like, wow, you're like really going gangbusters. And I'd laugh. And thank God, I had two people in my prenatal yoga class. Like no one was there, and even today people are like, oh my God, the doula Darcy. Like I just post on social media a lot. That's all that I do. And if you post, and I'm not saying lie, but I'm just saying you post what you post. No one knows what's really the back end. So if you do something that flops or you know, even something like a typo in a email or a sales page, like no one's paying as much attention to your business as you think people are. So just keep going.
I love that. I love that. And it's, I think one of the hard things for new doulas or just new business owners in general is like understanding what deserves your time and like understanding what's important. And I love that you mentioned like the little like spelling mistake.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, there's times in my business now where someone's like, hey, there's a spelling mistake, you know, in this email. And I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going to leave it there. Like not even worth my time to like go fix that because I know that like if I'm only going to be working 3 hours today, like my time is way better spent doing these other things.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, you don't necessarily like know that. So it's so cool. I think if anything, like use this as a reminder to just like reflect on where you've been and where you're going and just come back and listen to this again next year. And again, reflect on where you've been and where you're going because man, it's just so cool with every failure, with every flopped launch, with every mistake, with every month where you have no doula clients, there's just so many lessons from that. And it's not going to be like that forever. And hey, hopefully maybe one day you're going to be like, I wish I was slow again so I could go get a massage at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Would you tell my listeners where to find you? And then I'd also love if you'd tell them about your Facebook group because that is like the greatest Facebook group, period.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. So my website is thedouladarcy.com, but you can also find me on Instagram. I love Instagram the most, @thedouladarcy. Shoot me a DM. Tell me you heard this. Say hi. And I love sharing. And so it's all just sharing tips for doulas and marketing your business. And so the Facebook group that you mentioned is called the Doula Marketing Group. And it is an awesome group. And I try so hard keeping it positive. Actually, you know what I say that? I knock on wood. actually don't really do anything, but I feel like it is a good group. We don't have all the nastiness that you see in some of the other groups. So, I put in content there about marketing your business, but there's also people asking just general doula questions. It's a good community and it's totally free. So definitely go join that. I love connecting with other doulas. So reach out.
Absolutely. I'm going to put links to all of that in the show notes. And then also, if anyone is listening to this, like the week that it actually comes out, I will be doing a special little webinar just for Darcy's community. So go to that Facebook group. You will not miss it. Get on Darcy's email list, follow her on Instagram. She'll be posting all about that little private webinar that I'll be doing, but I would love to see you there.
I'm excited for that. So thank you. Yeah. And thank you for having me today. This was great.